Genesis 23. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. He said, I am a foreigner and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here so that I can bury my dead. The Hittites replied to Abraham, Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead. Then Abraham rose and bowed down before the people of the land, the Hittites. He said to them, If you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf, so that he may sell me the cave at Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you. Ephron the Hittite was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. No, my lord, he said, listen to me. I give you the field. I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. Again, Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, Listen to me, if you will. I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so that I can bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, Listen to me, my lord, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in Machpelah, near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, were legally made over to Abraham as his property in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. Afterwards, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were legally made over to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, through your word, by your Holy Spirit, give us joy in the resurrection of your Son and assurance about our future. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Julia Samuel is a psychotherapist who specializes in bereavement counseling. And she wrote an article for The Guardian this week entitled, We Need to Adapt in Order to Grow, How to Emerge from Lockdown Stronger, Happier, Healthier. And the article covered a number of aspects of life as it comes to emerging from lockdown. And I was particularly struck by this. She wrote, There is nothing like a health pandemic to raise awareness of our mortality and the mortality of those we love. People have had more conversations about death and dying in the past year than in their entire lifetimes. And paradoxically, it has meant we value life more. I think that's probably right. People have had more conversations. Death has been in our faces in a very powerful way. Every day, I can't remember this ever happening, there are death statistics. How many have died from COVID? And you see, not only is that, we know, of course, that not everyone will die from COVID. Only a tiny fraction will die from COVID. But we know that while COVID may not kill us, something in the end certainly will. Death is inevitable. One in one. So what are Julia Samuel's reflections? Well, they're helpful in many ways. We begin to value life. We want to use our lives. Life is a precious gift. And she also mentioned that we are learning again to enjoy the small things. We have limited time. Let's enjoy some of the smaller things in life. Being able to go to a restaurant, hug a family member. But is that it? As we look at death, is all we can say, well, let us value life a bit more and let us enjoy the small things? See, it leaves a big question. Is death it? As we face our own mortality, as we think about our loved ones, what can be said into our fears? What can be said into our grief? Well, to reflect on those questions, we're going to go back into Genesis 23 and to the death of Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, of course, were where it all began. Many years earlier, Abraham had received a series of promises from God. God had promised that he would be the father of a nation. God had promised that the nation would inherit the land. For many years, Abraham and Sarah had lived trusting God. He and Sarah had had a child. They had known some great blessings, but the promises still seemed far off. And now Sarah dies. It would appear without inheriting the promises. The first response is the obvious one. Abraham mourned and wept over her. Here was a man feeling the loss of his wife very deeply. A deep love for each other. And they'd been through so much together. But that mourning, deep and real, striking that he's just given a sentence, it's there. But what is the rest of the chapter about? It's interesting, in our Bibles, the heading is the death of Sarah. I'm not sure that's actually the focus here. I mean, obviously it is the focus in one sense. You see, verse 4 introduces the rest of the chapter. Let me read it to you again. Abraham rose from beside his dead wife, verse 3, and spoke to the Hittite and said, I am a foreigner and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here so that I can bury my dead. This is what's happening. He speaks to the people who own the land. He speaks to the residents and says, I don't belong. Important language. I'm a foreigner and I'm a stranger. And I want to have a burial site here. Most of the chapter is about this foreigner, this stranger, buying a burial site for his deceased wife, Sarah, and for the family in the years ahead. That's what this chapter's about. A stranger and a foreigner buying a burial site. Now the Hittites say, sure. And you get this long narrative, this long story. The Hittites say, sure. They have a huge respect for Abraham. They have seen the way he's been used by God. They know he's a prince. He has their respect. Use any of our tombs, they say. Any of our graveyards. Just name which one you want. You can put Sarah there. But Abraham, with great deference, pushes back. Thank you that you're willing to let me bury my dead. But I'd like to approach Ephron. There's a cave and a bit of land at Machpelah. I want to buy it. No discounts. Full price. I want it. Ephron says, no problem, I'll give it to you. Bury your dead there. You can use it. Abraham again, full of respect, standing up and bowing. Ephron, I want to pay the full price. Well, he gets the price out of Ephron, 400 shekels of silver. We don't have a currency converter with the Hittite trade culture, but this is an absolute fortune. This is property prices gone mad, way beyond St. Albans. And in front of everybody, it makes it absolutely clear, in front of everybody at the city gate, the price has been agreed. It is deeded over. It is legally made over. It legally becomes his. And then he buries her. In that legally made over, really his, no doubt about it, full price paid burial site. Afterwards, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field at Machpelah near Mamre, which is in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were legally made over to Abraham by the Hittites as his burial sites. It is very clear that Abraham does not want to be loaned a burial site. No way down the line does he want the situation where they say, well, you know, it's 50 years now, it's no longer yours. He wants to pay the full price. No one can ever come back and say, that isn't yours. You didn't pay the full price for it. He wants to have it going down through the generations. No loans. Two questions, aren't there, really? Firstly, why was he so bothered about buying a burial site for Sarah? And of course, the second question is, why does this matter to us? Why is this of relevance to us? So why was Abraham so keen to buy a burial site? Well, I think there are a couple of aspects to this purchase. You see, whenever we buy land, we think, location, location, location. Where is it? Twice we are told, it is in the land of Canaan. Verse 2, verse 19. She died in the land of Canaan. I want to bury her here. She's buried in the land of Canaan. And it is very interesting the way that Genesis is structured. Just before chapter 23, in chapter 23 at the end there, we've had some news about Abraham's family. Back in the Chaldeans, back away from Canaan. It would have been natural for Abraham to have taken Sarah back to the homeland to bury her. There would have been family graves back there. But no, he wants to bury her in Canaan. Abraham is wealthy. He's nomadic. He owns practically nothing and he wants to buy this here. And he wants to use it for himself and for his family. He never wants to lose it. But why does he want this burial site in Canaan? Is it that he's just deeply affectionate towards Sarah? And this is a place, Mamre, Hebron, they've been there before, which is full of nice memories. You know, God appeared there in the past and gave news there in the past. Is this just kind of just the place where they feel most at home and I want a grave there? Does he simply want to honor her? A special burial site for a special woman. No expense spared. I'm sure that's part of it. But you see, I think there are clues around here in Genesis. He's purchasing the land, a burial site in the land of Canaan forever. Why? Because of the promises he had been given. God had promised back in chapter 17, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and be the God of your descendants after you. In other words, God had promised to be to Abraham his God and to his descendants. And then God has said, the whole land of Canaan where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you. And I will be their God. This land is going to be given to you, Abraham, and to your descendants, to you and Sarah and to your descendants. Abraham and Sarah were expecting to possess the land. They knew their inheritance would, their descendants would inherit the land as well. They expected to be in on this inheritance. You see, Abraham did not put Sarah into the grave at Machpelah in Canaan and think that's it for Sarah. You know, one day our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids might inherit this land. He knew the promises were for him and for Sarah. He was putting her into a burial plot in Canaan, knowing that she, along with him, would inherit the land. That's where their bodies must lie, because that's what they were going to inherit. And of course, the only way they were going to inherit the land, given the fact that they were dead, is they were going to be lifted from the grave. He believed in some way there would be life beyond the grave, would be lifted from death to enjoy the land. He was putting a marker down in faith, knowing what God had promised. And this will actually become a theme of the book of Genesis. Abraham himself will be buried at the cave at Machpelah. And when Jacob, his grandson, was dying in Egypt, he was very specific about his funeral arrangements. I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave at the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave at the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan. Take my body there. I don't belong in Egypt. Take my body there because I'm going to inherit the land. Joseph, when he is in Egypt, made the Israelites swear an oath. No, he knew they would get stuck in the land of Egypt. This is Genesis 50:25. God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. The writer to the Hebrews, writing about these folk, would say, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers. Abraham's vocabulary. Hebrews 11:13. The foreigners are strangers, dying, not having received the promises, seeing them from a distance and knowing they would receive them. Why did Abraham buy a plot of land for a burial site? Because he believed the promises of God and in the life to come. Well, how does it speak to us? Well, what we are celebrating today is the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we can ask, can't we, as we think about this and we reflect upon the Abraham story, there Abraham believed in resurrection. Is there really life beyond the grave? Abraham believed there was. Can death really be overcome? Can a body that has gone into the grave, and we do the funerals here, we have the coffins here, when we put those bodies into the grave, do we really believe that they can be raised up? Well, God promised life beyond death. He promised resurrection life. And Jesus wonderfully rises from the dead. On Good Friday, we celebrate the fact that he died upon a cross, dealing with our sin, dealing with the sin that led to death. And on Sunday morning, that first Sunday, he rose from the dead. He conquered death. A man who had died was raised up forever. Ascended into heaven, is now at the right hand of God the Father. And that raising up shows that Jesus Christ is Lord. It shows that death has been conquered. Really? Did he really rise? No body was ever found. Jesus was seen alive by many, many convincing proofs that he was alive. You can check the evidence, read the first-hand accounts. Jesus was raised. And Jesus' resurrection tells us that death is not the end. What does it mean at the graveside? What does it mean as we face death? As we reflect on our own mortality in lockdown? It is good to think, yes, my time is finite. It is good to think, how will I use my time? It is good to enjoy the small things, it really is. But what else can we say in the face of death? Well, the burial of Sarah helps us. Please note that Abraham felt the pain of loss. He mourned and he wept. And we will still mourn and we will still weep. And may well feel a very, very deep loneliness. But as we face death, as we bury our loved ones, we bury them and we face death in the certain and sure hope of enjoying resurrection life in the promised lands. And we can be sure of it because Christ died for our sins and he's been raised again according to the scriptures. And Jesus will return and will powerfully raise the dead. He will bring us back to life. It's why at a Christian funeral there will always be deep sadness, but there will always be great hope. That sadness and that hope must mingle at Christian funerals, as it does with Abraham. Sadness, but he buries her with hope. The wonderful truth is that all who trust in Jesus, who have been cleansed by Jesus, will be raised by Jesus to be like Jesus, to enjoy Jesus forever. Rejoice this morning in the resurrection of Christ. And as we come out of lockdown, mindful of death, God wants our faith to be strengthened, to know that because of the death and resurrection of Christ, we can be certain in the hope of death, that we will pass through into the presence of Christ and then look forward to the resurrection of our bodies. And that frees us up, doesn't it, to serve Christ, to be used by him now, and to enjoy the small gifts that we benefit from and so treasure here. Our future is secure. Maybe you're just thinking these things through. Actually, I think life beyond the grave can be an uncomfortable idea, because it means that death is not the end, that we will be accountable. I simply want to ask a question. Do you want eternal life? It is actually, isn't it, very binary. Beyond death, according to Jesus, there is eternal life, resurrection life, or there is resurrection and judgment and eternal separation from God. He would love to give you life if you have not received it. He would love for you to have that resurrection life. He really would. He offers it. But you must come to him, ask for forgiveness, ask for new life, and follow him. And it may be costly. It may be costly. That grave, that burial site was costly. Sometimes it is costly. But the joy we have in Christ, the future we have in Christ, is amazing and will be amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his fantastic work, his amazing work of dealing with our sin through his death, and then through his resurrection, dealing with our death, so that all who are united to him by faith can have, as Abraham and Sarah had, a sure resurrection hope. Like Abraham and Sarah, we have not yet received those promises, yet we live by faith and we look forward to the return of Christ and the resurrection. Please help us to live by faith, serving you, using our lives well, enjoying your good gifts, serving you in holiness as we look forward to his return and our glorious resurrection. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be sung to again and reflect on the glorious resurrection and the resurrection bodies that we shall enjoy at the return of Christ. Thank you. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip us with doing everything good for doing his will, And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.